we first talked about publicly the idea of a federal cloud credential exchange back at the ELC conference down in Williamsburg, Virginia last October. Since then, there's been a good amount of work that's come out towards actually making that concept a reality, including the establishment of a Tiger team launched by the White House that looks to bring together a few key agencies who are very interested in embracing federated identity management to offer better citizen services and look for ways that they could essentially establish what would be a government-wide shared cloud infrastructure that would make it much easier for every one of those agencies to start moving more high-value services online and do so in a way that credentials that were issued either by different agencies or by the list of accredited third-party credential providers, guys like PayPal, Google, Verizon, Symantec, who have all been approved through the GSA's FICAM office.
This Tiger team, this is something that's ongoing now. What is their goal?
The goal is to come up with what would be a set of common requirements that all agencies could agree to. You know, it's also to try and foster discussion among different agencies to see where there are common interests in offering the same kinds of services. Let me give you a little bit of background. There's a lot of offerings that agencies aren't able to put online today because they've never been able to solve the age-old identity conundrum of, do you really know that a person is who they say they are, or are they simply a dog on the internet? And, you know, sometimes for services you don't really care who the person is, but most agencies are finding that they've got one or two killer apps that they simply can't move online unless they deal with the identity conundrum. So I'll give you an example. You know, some people might think about Social Security and remember in the mid-90s when they tried to put a bunch of different benefits information online, and after a couple weeks, there were holes that were in it because they couldn't find a great way to solve the identity conundrum, and some of those applications had to be torn down. Now here we are in 2012. It's been many years later. They finally are ready to start offering more information online again, but they do need a way to actually determine at a pretty high level of assurance that the person who's coming in and claiming to be a beneficiary is who they say they are. Other agencies, and you know, without you know calling many out, pretty much every agency has got that same issue today. If they can't figure out a way to actually deal with authentication and verification of identity, those services can't be online. And what a lot of agencies are now finding is the cost of building this infrastructure on their own can be quite significant relative to the idea of leveraging a single enterprise service that be hosted in the cloud that would work on behalf of all of government could really be an easy button that would make it much simpler for them to bring these new services online.
Give me a sense of how this is going to work.
Almost every agency, first of all, is looking to try and make use of credentials that are at a higher level of assurance than just an unvetted username or password. Under OMB Memo 0404 and this guidance on electronic authentication that followed it, 863, if you're dealing with anything that's above very low risk, you actually need to have, you know, some sort of stronger method of authentication. So you have some agencies who have been, you know, over the years looking for ways to issue level 2, level 3, level 4 credentials themselves. Others that are looking to take advantage of the program that the GSA has put in place over the last few years in partnership with the Federal CIO Council through FICAM, where they've established a number of private trust framework providers who are accredited to look at private sector issued credentials and essentially assess them against, you know, federal security and privacy requirements and then allow them to be used to access agency resources online. So at level one, you have companies like Google, PayPal, Symantec, Equifax, who have all gotten assessed and approved for use. And in fact, Steve Van Rokel, the federal CIO, put out a memorandum this past October mandating that any agency who's putting a new application online or any agency who's updating it that requires a credential cannot only issue their own password. They have to allow citizens the option of using all of those accredited credentials. At higher levels of assurance, let's, you know, start to get into multi-factor authentication. You have Verizon, who is right now the only firm who's been accredited against this level of assurance 3, but there's four or five other companies that are pretty close behind in the accreditation process. We're very close to having a marketplace of providers that's out there. So I think the use case that we're really trying to enable is interoperability for different agencies and interoperability for the citizen.
You know, as you described it, one thing definitely comes to mind is the idea of the federal bridge, something that was tried more than 12 years ago now. This seems very similar to the federal bridge, and that did not have a lot of success. Is this just re-looking at the bridge with new technology, or is this maybe a different tact?
I think it's a little bit of a different tact. I mean, first of all, the bridge, you know, has had some pretty good success, certainly among different agencies and government. As somebody who's been around, you know, the space, both in government and industry a long time, I can think of a lot of additional things that we'd like the bridge to be able to do. This is really looking as you start to get into non-PKI credentials and how they can be used. Generally, the bridge is looking at, you know, what is, you know, level 3 and 4 solutions as NIST prescribes them in 863. But, you know, there's there's other solutions that are out there that are using one-time password or text messages or other new technologies for authentication that will leverage, you know, the smartphones and other mobile devices that, you know, most Americans are now, you know, carrying with them these days. And so this would be a way, at a minimum, to come up with a service that could also support a lot of the non-PKI technologies. I think it's uncertain right now whether, you know, you'd also want to roll in some of the bridge functionality or whether PKI, because candidly, it's a little bit more complicated than some of these other technologies, you know, might continue to be in a separate service.
The other thing that comes to mind as you're describing this is this already being done somewhere? I mean, is there examples, for instance, of in the government of someone using these open ID standards?
Probably the best known example is what NIH has done with the iTrust offering, which has been up for a couple years now and has actually won several awards. NIH really jumped out in front of a federated identity over the last couple of years, in part because they were dealing with thousands of people logging in every day to National Library of Medicine, and they didn't really want to deal with having to manage all these usernames and passwords, particularly because, at least at a low level of assurance, they were willing to accept other credentials. So they federated with InCommon, which is a federation of most of the major universities in the country. They also, you know, federated with all of the approved OpenID providers, so companies like Google, PayPal, Equifax, Symantec, who are at way who are all out there, so that when you go to NIH, you have the option of logging on either with your own username and password that they issued or using any one of the other solutions. And where it's really worth holding NIH up is while this was built originally for some NIH applications, the Institute then started to allow both other parts of HHS to write off the same infrastructure and even some other agencies. So it really showed that there was a model for a shared services approach for credential authentication verification that, you know, you could set up an agency as a center of excellence to host this, and then, you know, other agencies could leverage it. You know, they've certainly, if any agency has paved the way for, you know, how this could be done, it's certainly NIH.
Where do you see some milestones? Are there some short-term, some long-term milestones you can talk to?
You know, a lot of the work's being done internally right now between the agencies. And so, you know, I don't want to say too much other than I think in the next 2 or 3 months, we'll have a common set of requirements that's actually developed. I think it's, you know, safe to say we should have something around 60 days from now. And, you know, from there, we would then, you know, go forward to, well, now that we've, you know, sort of laid out what the objectives are of a service, what would be the best way to actually stand one up? So a lot of this work is going on in discussions between the agencies right now. But I think right now there's still quite a bit of work to be done to sort out requirements before we, you know, take the next step.